You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-hosts Kristen and Jennifer Moore from the Autism Society of South Central Wisconsin. So you were telling us before the break the walk that's coming up at the end of April and how to register. Can you give us that website one more time?
Yes, autismsouthcentral.org.
And I just have to say for all of you single folks out there that the walk could be a place to meet your future mate. The last walk that we went to in 2019, my son went there and he met a young woman by the name of Ella, and they have been dating ever since.
That's awesome.
I did not know that that's where that little budding relationship started.
Yes, that is where they met.
Oh, look at that.
So you never know what you're getting yourself into, right?
Exactly.
So in this next segment, we are going to talk a little bit more about the caregiver experience. And Kristen, I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. So Jennifer, we oftentimes like to ask people that have professional roles, either volunteering or being paid in working with different communities that have caregivers. What are three things that you wish all caregivers knew?
Self-care. One of the biggest ones, I think, is self-care. We have such a tendency to take care of everybody else and, you know, put ourselves last on the list. And, you know, as one of my friends would tell me when I get incredibly stressed is, you know, like when you're on the airplane and there's going to be an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first and yep. figure out how to care for yourself so that you're better able to care for your loved one. And taking those breaks and getting support from others. I think being able to connect with others mm-hmm. that are going through something similar, whether it's another autistic parent or, quite frankly, I've got a friend with an adult child with a different disability. Mm-hmm. Those experiences kind of transcend the disability.
Definitely.
Being a caregiver. And so, you know, being able to connect, I think, is really important. And being okay asking for help. I think we have a tendency, we're the nurturers, we're taking care of everybody. We feel like we have to have all the answers.
Yep.
And in my experience, and I think in talking with many of my friends who are also caregivers, you know, you don't always know what to ask.
Right.
You don't always know what's out there mm-hmm. until you speak up and say, hey, I need help with this mm-hmm. or, you know, what do you suggest?
Exactly.
And so I think those would be some of the messages that I would have for caregivers.
Love it.
That's great advice. And I feel like the put the oxygen mask on yourself first comes up like every week for us. And
yes.
it should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that important.
Yep.
What advice or recommendations would you have for a parent that has a child that was recently diagnosed with autism?
I would say that the first thing when I think back to my experience is take a deep breath and then mm-hmm. remember that your child is the same child they always were mm-hmm. before they got that diagnosis.
Oh, I love that.
And really, you know, what the diagnosis does is now you've got a name mm-hmm. and now you can start figuring out where to get support mm-hmm. and what kind of support you need. And then I would also say find those ways to connect to the community. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I had the privilege of having breakfast with a friend of mine, another mom of an autistic child, not too long ago. And one of the things we were talking about was how she didn't realize somebody else had asked for a specific service that would also benefit her child. And we're like, yeah, you just don't know
exactly
what to ask. And then when you connect with each other, you can be like, oh, you're getting that? Mm-hmm. I could use that. Let me figure out how, you know, let me find out more about that and see if I can get that service too.
Exactly. And I think it's really important to highlight that that's a service, right?
Yes.
So it's something that's there to help your child. So it's not so much a competition of like, who's going to get more.
Right.
It's more about this particular service would really help our family or would really help my child, because we've had some of those same conversations too. And then, you know, have had further conversations about, well, now I kind of feel like I'm taking.
Right.
And it's like, no. This isn't about taking. These mm-hmm. are resources that your child is entitled to in order to be able to have a successful life mm-hmm. and be able to thrive as much as they can at this stage, but also some of the future
Absolutely.
Stages. So that kind of leads me into my next question for you. So you said, what was your son's name again?
Wyatt.
Wyatt, right.
Yeah.
So Wyatt's 9. Yes. And Caden, Liza's son, is 18. And Nicole, my daughter, is 20. Do you have any questions for us about kind of like what's ahead in the caregiving journey?
Oh, I think that's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah, because we do. We start thinking about, okay, right now I'm in elementary school. Mm-hmm. We're going to hit middle school before we know it.
Yep.
As you transition and you start hitting high school, how did you navigate kind of that coming to the end of the high school career and beginning to transition into what's next?
Right. Well, number one, I made a very concerted effort to get to know our case manager at the high school. And I said, whatever, and the people that are in the administrative positions at the high school for the special ed department. And I was like, what do I need to do to make sure that you are always on Nicole's team, whether you're officially her case manager or whether or not you're just consulting to the people who will be working with her, because you're going to start getting to know her and you're going to be watching the development. And I think some of that is from my experience as a high school teacher and knowing that I've had kids in my classroom as ninth graders and then seeing them as 12th graders and having that sense, right? Yeah. So I would say just starting to develop those important relationships out of the gate. And then what I wish I had done was started talking to the transitions department right away in ninth grade.
Okay.
How about you, Liza?
I think for me, it was really starting with my son at an early age, getting him out in the community and doing some volunteer work and getting a paid job for him so he has that experience, and just giving him some of the exposure and start having some of those conversations really early. What do you want to do? What is, you know, what jobs looks interesting? You know, can we do some internships or career exploration? Just to get him really involved in the process. I felt like during that time we were a team.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And just to recap on that, I wish that I had started prepping Nicole for understanding that growing up is cool. So I don't know if I've told the story on the air yet, but I don't know, I haven't told it to you yet, Jen. When Toy Story 3 came out, we were all excited to go see it, right? So we went as a family, we're in the theater, and everybody's crying because Andy's going off to college. So Nicole very quickly made a connection between college and sadness. We live in a college town here in Madison. Every time she heard the word college, she'd go, I hate college. So it's taken a lot of undoing to get Nicole to recognize that growing up is cool. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we'll be back in just a moment to finish up our conversation with Jennifer Moore.